Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Dick Strasser, Chief Financial Officer and Executive Vice President of the U.S. Postal Service. Joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Bill Takis.
Well, Dick, we've heard that back in September of last year, the Postal Service filed for a rate increase to raise the stamp price up to 37 cents. Can you tell us a little bit of background on, A, how the decision was made to ask for that rate increase, and B, how that's panning out right now?
Actually, the rate-setting process is unique. Along with postal reorganization came the decision as part of the legislative process to set up the Postal Rate Commission, which is an independent commission that regulates only the Postal Service. Doesn't regulate a market or a technology. It regulates just the United States Postal Service. Our competitors participate in the regulation process of us, but that we don't participate in theirs. But at any rate, it's set up such that it takes 10 months to litigate a rate case. And in order to have that amount of time, a future test year has to be set up. So when we were preparing this rate case, what essentially occurs is the governors agree with management that perhaps for fiscal year, in this case, for fiscal year 2003, we would need new rates to break even. So we were dealing with financial forecasts and economic forecasts that didn't have the R word in them, nor did it have the terrorist activities of September built in. So we forecasted a test year break even of in 2003 fiscal year, which incorporated a 37 cent first class stamp and on average, about an 8% rate increase. Governors approved the filing of that rate case, and it was put into the process. We anticipated, again, the earliest we could have implemented rates under the normal process would be October of 2003. Well, with the advent of the terrorists and attacks and with the recession, the downturn in the economy, I thought it was very, very sharp of the chairman of the Rate Commission to recognize that these were unusual circumstances. And he suggested that maybe the parties, the interveners who participated in this process might, under the leadership of the Postal Service, might be able to come to some settlement agreement rather than go through the entire 10-month litigation, so that it would encompass a lot of the things that had occurred after the filing, after the preparation of the case, in consideration. It might even include an earlier implementation of rates because the shortfall in volume was causing financial pressure on the Postal Service, and that exactly was the case. And we're pleased that we have an unprecedented settlement agreement that's been filed with the Rate Commission. There's over 50 interveners who signed on to it, including our competitors. There's five interveners who didn't but who are not opposed to it. There's one party that is intervening, and they are going to the Rate Commission will give them their hearing. But all of it said and done, it will enable us to have access to the rates, we think, in the midsummer, probably, depending on our board's action, somewhere around June 30th, which will infuse about $1 billion into the system. This will be a very welcomed infusion, considering our target is break-even, and given this recession and the shortfall in volume, we could have revenue shortfall this year of somewhere between $2 and $4 billion. So we have an unprecedented situation that's now the settlement's been filed with the Rate Commission, and the governors have asked the Rate Commission if it would be possible to have a recommended decision by March 25th in order to give them time to consider the Commission's recommended decision and announce an implementation sometime this summer for the rates.
I'm curious. You said that normally the rate setting process took 9 to 10 months, and I'm wondering why that is, and if now that it could go faster, if people think it might in the future.
That is certainly a possibility in the future. It definitely needs to be accelerated. In fact, our board had written a letter indicating to the Hill that they thought some flexibility in rate process and rates needed to be built in to provide a continuing process for the future in terms of managing this large organization. For example, in 2000, when gasoline prices spiked, there was really not an easy avenue to put on a surcharge the way we saw other companies in the industry add surcharges for the high fuel costs. So it is possible in the future to not go through the normal litigation, but the litigation of 10-month period is pretty much what's warranted for due process given the current construct of the legislation as it relates to rates.
The Postal Service was one of the first federal agencies to implement pay-for-performance program. Could you tell us about what results you've seen so far?
Yes, Paul. I think there's some truth to the adage that sometimes you don't want to be first in line. and the reason I say that is I think we had an outstanding pay-for-performance process based on economic value added. Unfortunately, it was very complex, and it fell to the one-line folks who like one line and talked about bonuses because it was paid after performance was proven to have been achieved. But we set specific targets, team targets, based in what we call our three areas: customer service, employee, the voice of the employee, and our efficiency and financial targets. Based on those targets, if the organization generated economic value added under the Stern Stewart model, that would generate a pool of funds that were enabled to be paid as lump sum pay for performance. The interesting thing about it over the 5 years is that's the time period when we raised, for example, overnight first class mail service from 90% to 94% for the nation. And we have some clusters in the nation achieving 96% overnight on time. We've spread it then to our other services, priority mail and 2 and 3 day first class mail. That was in the service area. In the employee area, we applied it to safety and reducing lost workday injuries, and there's tangible evidence of downward trends in both of those areas over the 5 years. And in the efficiency area, we applied it to productivity, and there's tangible evidence of increased productivity there. So the ability to use this as a tool to focus the organization on specific targets as a team and see tangible evidence was well proven. The biggest problem was that there was a misunderstanding. When we don't set our own rates, when our target is break even, people don't understand pay for performance. They ally it to a private sector model that says, well, if you didn't make profits, you shouldn't pay bonuses. Well, that was not the case. What happened in this case was our non-bargaining employees, our supervisors and managers, gave up time and a half overtime pay, gave up cost of living allowance increases, gave up step increases in order to participate in this program. So it was truly pay at risk based on performance, and we're moving on. We're in the process of consultation with our supervisors and postmaster associations to design a new step, and we're going to move on to the model that's more individually accountable and things. But we think that for that period of time, the organization as well as provided our customers efficiency and outstanding service for those for that period of time.
You mentioned just a moment ago about the impact of this program on your supervisors, various different employees within the Postal Service. How are they faring with the results of the financial downturn in the economy and the financial situations facing the Postal Service right now?
I think all of our employees have done outstanding in their whole approach, right from the terrorist attack on September 11th, when in fact our Church Street station across the street was impacted by across the street from World Trade Center, right through the anthrax scare. Our employees have just stuck by, and you know, the commercial that we did, I don't know whether you've seen it, was just right on target in terms of their commitment to the mission of the organization. And it's one of the things that's kept me in this organization is that we're more than a company, more than a for-profit organization. We're an institution with a mission, and it really, the employees have just done an outstanding job. They also recognize that we're in competition, that there are electronic alternatives, and I think there's a genuine concern that we become more efficient. We do have to take more costs out of our our system. We do have to work more closely with our unions and our management associations to take out the costs that are now there for grievances and arbitrations and things. We've got to figure out new models to work from to continue to reduce our costs so that we're not passing those on in the form of increased rates, which could make us non-competitive in the future.
The Postal Service has experienced significant management challenge. That's clear from your descriptions in the last couple of questions. What lessons have you learned that you could pass on to other leaders facing not exactly but somewhat similar challenges?
Two of the greatest lessons we learned was bring the entire team in, be all-encompassing. We brought our union leadership, our management associations all in on the anthrax crisis right from the beginning, and then also tap into the best expertise you can find, the CDC people, the scientists. We tapped into everybody who could provide us any kind of information expertise that would do that. The second thing is communicate, and that was a huge challenge. Communicate, and no amount of communications is sufficient, but as long as your employees feel that the communication lines are open, that they have access to information and feedback, you can at least mitigate to some extent the crisis mode, and you won't have chaos ensue.
It's a good stopping point because it's time for a break. Stick with us as we continue our conversation with Dick Strasser of the Postal Service. What new technology might be on the horizon? We'll ask him when the Business of Government Hour continues.